Thank you, choir, for your good singing again tonight.
Good evening, everybody. Heard of the tragedy in Abaco recently. I remember a few years back when my good friend then, Ray Albury, his son, was sort of delayed in coming home, went down to check on the gas tanks, and when he got down the Adrian, he apparently put his head inside of the vent of the gas tanks, and it was overcome with the fumes, and the father went down there and found the gasoline just pouring over his body. That was a tremendous shock to Miss Molly. That's his mother. I was over there when Ray, the father, died with a heart attack, fell in the bathroom, and then it was another shock. But I don't know how many shocks individuals can take. Yesterday, U.S. Air, the officials called Molly, Miss Molly again, and the two wives to let them know that Robin, her son, and Nicholas, her youngest son, as well as her granddaughter, was on the plane that crashed in Charlotte, North Carolina. I can't imagine what, you know, the condition they're in, but just in case you haven't heard, pray for them. Pray in a special way that God will give us the grace. All of them are believers, as far as I know. Robin goes to the exclusive meeting, and the Nicholas goes to the meeting, New Vision, I think they call it, where Ted Pierce is. And the little girl is also a professed believer. So that takes a bit of the sting out of it. But believe me, it must be a horrifying experience for that family. So I'd like you to pray for them, please. Tonight we want to talk to you about the Word of God. You say, oh, I've heard that before. But you know, the Word is so important that we do not give it the attention that we should, even those who may read two, three chapters a day. We found out that reading the Word of God is still God's way, and it's still the best way. There are no substitutes. We have no gimmicks, no shortcuts to spirituality or spiritual maturity, as far as that matters. Everything will come back again to the most vital thing in the world today, and that's the Bible. Millions of copies are carried around the world, taken into countries that have never seen a Bible. Many people have heard about a Bible, but they would like to get one, but never been able to get a copy. When it was translated into the English language, King James was so careful, and as well as the officials and the royal family of England, they were hesitant about it. And finally, they gave 70 men the permission to do it who could interpret from the Greek and the Hebrew, the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek. And these men were put in different booths, and they were there by themselves to interpret the Word. And they prayed for hours that there be no mistakes. And so they translated that into our language. But before that were men like Tyndale, who suffered terribly in trying to interpret the Bible. Some of these men would go in. All they were allowed to do is read the Hebrew or the Greek. They'd memorize it and go out, and then they would write it down in English. Some were actually put to death because of many things regarding the Word of God. We take it for granted today because there are so many copies. You could buy it at any bookstore. But a lot of blood has been shed. Some kings have tried to destroy the Word of God down through the centuries, even since Christ. They want to destroy manuscripts that are vital. I think of men like Adoniram Judson, the missionary to Burma, translating English from the Bible from English to Burmese. 3.5 years he was put in prison, and he was so saddened that his work he thought would be lost. And there in prison, where they left him to rot and to die for the sake of the gospel. And one day his wife asked if with permission she could give him a gift, just a pillow. And the guard, being a bit inclined, I guess, and under the leading, I'm sure, of the Holy Spirit, took the pillow into Mr. Judson. And when he slept on it that night, it was so hard and uncomfortable. And then he tried to examine it, discovered that his wife had sort of put the manuscripts into that pillow. And you can't imagine the joy. You cannot imagine the joy of Mr. Judson. And he was able to carry on the translation of the Bible into the Burmese language. For 7 years that man was there and never saw one convert. But when it did break, a real awakening broke out in Burma as a result of what? The Word of God. The Word of God is extremely important. We underestimate it sometimes. You may say, well, I heard that before. That's why the apostle writing to Timothy said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's what the book is all about. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, says the Lord to Joshua, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, listen to this now, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, I don't know how you measure success. Maybe you measure it in dollars and cents. But success comes in more ways than that. God promised you real prosperity, spiritual prosperity, material prosperity, because you love the Word of God. Thy Word do I love more than my necessary food, said Job. And so we could go on and on quoting many vital scriptures like that. The dear, sweet psalmist of Israel recognized that the Word was so important. He said 7 times a day that he spent time in the Word, meditating it in it as well. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy Word. So you not only have a course to follow, the Word of God, but you have also the control over sin by the Word of God. You see, the more you have the Word of God in you, and you saturate your life, your heart, your soul with the Word of God, it'll give you strength. It won't make you perfect, make you mature, but it will certainly help you in your hour of need. That's why we never compromise the Word of God. Neither do we make excuses for the Word of God. It's thus saith the Lord. Follow it and you will enjoy life. Disobey it and you're going to be miserable. I'm going to repeat that. Oh, you take the Word of God, inwardly digest it, and you're going to be mature. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be strengthened, but if you disobey it, you're going to be a miserable person in this world. I can guarantee you that you're going to be miserable, and I'm going to tell you something very graciously tonight. If you do not really take this book seriously, you're not only going to be miserable, but you're going to be just like worse than the unconverted man out in the street. You're going to be unhappy. You're going to be just so dissatisfied with life altogether. So then, it's important that we recognize this. There was a man who walked 100 miles to a certain village in Africa because he heard of a missionary who had a book that did miracles. And when he got there, he found out the book was in his language. He was the only one that could do reading or any reading in his village. And he begged for a copy of the Word of God. Of course, the missionary was so pleased that he wanted the Word of God. And when the missionary finally went to his village, most of the villagers there were born-again believers, all because that man took one copy of the Word of God back to his village. The Word of God is so precious and important, you can trust every promise in it. David Brainerd, who was a missionary to North America Indians, and you know they were hostile against the white man, and rightly so. They were invaded, their territory, and they were reduced to practically nothing in America after so many years. But Brainerd wanted to reach the Indians. But when his life was in danger, a blizzard on the edge of a village, an Indian village, he was holed up in a old tree. And he was hungry. He thought at first he might freeze to death. But the tree kept him warm. It was all a tree that had fallen and had rotted. And so he carved out some of the particles of the tree, and there he was snug and warm, and the Lord kept him. But he wouldn't dare go out for any food. And he came across Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus the Lord. And he said, Lord, I won't worry about my hunger anymore. Then all of a sudden a little squirrel came with a nut. And Mr. Brainerd took that nut and cracked it and ate it. And it wasn't long until another squirrel came and brought him another nut and another nut. And every day for a while, Mr. Brainerd lived on nuts, and that's what saved and preserved his life. And when he went to that camp, they were ready to kill him. Again, he talked about this wonderful miracle book. And that was the lancet that opened the heart of the North American Indians through men like David Brainerd, who had a real unswerving faith and trust in the Word of God. You can trust your Bible, young people. Neglect it, and you're going to be terribly disappointed. And so you say you may have heard it before. I realize that. But I guarantee that it's the only way in life. It's beautiful, becomes precious to you as you read it, as you memorize it, as you take it seriously. Take the word for direction in life, for the course that you want to take in life. If you have problems that you have, go to the Word of God. God speaks. You know what? It's a living book. It is alive. And you can afford to trust Him. Proverbs 6 tells us in 22, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. I like that. When you sleep, it will keep you. Can you imagine a book? How could a book keep you when you're asleep? Well, you have to have faith to believe that God's word says, even while you're asleep, I will keep you. That's the promise of the word of God. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. It all will talk to you. Why will it talk to you? Because it's God speaking through His Word. I think recently someone reminded, might have been Morris, it'd be terrible if your child didn't speak to you for days. You wonder what in the world was wrong with that child. Never heard its voice, never. Well, the same thing is true with the Word of God. You know, God wants to hear you in prayer, and prayer will come because you read the Word. God speaks to you through the Bible, you speak to God in prayer. So it's very vital that we get an understanding of this. Recognize, first of all, simply three things. The authority of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine. It's always profitable. Always. And it says, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So two things we see in that verse. Not only that it is God's authority, but it has the ability to build you up in your faith. Believe in the ability of the Word of God. If you think you're reading enough of the Bible, read a little more. Try to go through the Bible an entire year if you can. Or maybe in a year and a half. But go through the Bible. And I realize you may get bogged down in some of the books like Second Chronicles, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and the genealogies, but you could skip a lot of that. Even in that, you may find little nuggets of truth, something that will bless your heart. But the thing is, it goes through the Bible. You think it's formality? Listen, it's alive. This book is alive. And you must realize it again. You say, well, I know, Brother Perry, but take it seriously tonight. It is a living book. You want God to bless you in your life? The choices you make, the decisions you make, whatever it is in this life. The authority is God. It's God's Word. You think the Lord would have taken that much pains, if I may use the expression, to preserve the Scriptures down through the centuries when the devil tried to destroy it many, many times? If he didn't know that it was thus saith the Lord and it would keep His church in the days to come? God knew what He was doing. And so the centuries hidden in caves or in clay pots did not destroy the Word of God. But men shed their blood for it. And because they recognized the value of the Word of God. Oh, my young people, thank you for singing tonight. Just for coming out tonight to hear you singing the Word of God the way you did. Just blessed our hearts. It was beautiful music indeed. It was worth coming to the meeting tonight. So let's blend our music with that of the Word of God. And because the sweet psalmist of Israel was a great singer, but he was a man that lived in the Word of God. And he was responsible for writing so many psalms that are in the Word of God today. Songs regarding his exaltation or the exaltation of the Lord. Songs that spoke about his own sorrows. Songs that spoke about his son deliberately trying to kill him and overthrew him, took away his throne. Psalms that he wrote about his own fall when he fell into sin, and he wrote with such remorse. And he asked God, "Oh, forgive me. I truly, my heart is sinful, and I know it well, and you know it." And he confessed his sin in Psalm 51. "Oh, wretched man," he felt himself to be. And that psalm is a precious psalm for a lot of Christians, even down through the years. And perhaps even here tonight, you may feel, "Well, I failed the Lord miserably. Brother Frank, I'm not reading the Bible like I should. I'm not praying like I should." Okay, get up and do something about it. God loves you. You say, "But I failed him here, even through the Christmas holidays. I failed him." Well, get up and really go on. Ask him to forgive. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And he will give us not only forgiveness, but give us that spiritual motivation to go on for him. You know, I want to say it again. There's nothing in this world that will satisfy you. I don't care what you do, what you achieve in life. Nothing will ever satisfy you like the spiritual life that God wants you to enjoy, because it teaches you how to enjoy God. You can either endure God or you can enjoy God. You have a choice. What will it be? What will it be? Well, I sincerely trust you're going to determine this year that you're going to be a spiritual giant form. Young people will help you in your studies in school. Did you know that? In your grades. Your grades will increase. Read the Word of God. If you're having trouble with your grades, get into the Word of God. Read it, and read it. And he'll do, well, get up and really go on. Ask him to forgive. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And he will give us not only forgiveness, but give us that spiritual motivation to go on for him. You know, I want to say it again. There's nothing in this world that will satisfy you. I don't care what you do, what you achieve in life. Nothing will ever satisfy you like the spiritual life that God wants you to enjoy, because it teaches you how to enjoy God. You can either endure God or you can enjoy God. You have a choice. What will it be? What will it be? Well, I sincerely trust you're going to determine this year that you're going to be a spiritual giant form. Young people will help you in your studies in school. Did you know that? In your grades. Your grades will increase. Read the Word of God. If you're having trouble with your grades, get into the Word of God. Read it, and read it. And enjoy it. I think of poor Mr. Bunyan when he was in Bedford Prison. When they opened the door to give him his food, and the little ray of light that he got, he was there reading his Bible and writing Pilgrim's Progress. That's how much he loved the Word of God. We could tell you scores of stories like that of the value of the Word of God. Now, the time is gone, and I'm not going to keep you any longer, but I do have a little object lesson. Is it on now? Is it on? 1, 2, 3. All right. Okay, I have just a little lesson here. Very short object lesson. And I asked Frankie to come tonight. And he said, was he sure whether he'd make it? Frankie, are you here? Put your hand up. Are you here? Okay, come, son. Come on. I asked him to volunteer. But he's always a good volunteer. Now, Frankie, I have a Bible here. And I also have a bag here of candy chocolate, which I like. No, no. Wait a minute, step aside. We got a Bible, and they even got some money here in this bag. Now, let me get, Cressy, your little boy here? Yeah, let him come up. He thrills my heart so much. Ladies, we're going to give the boys a chance tonight. All right? Let him come up. Boy, he always excites me. Not only him, there's many young ones as well with in the questions and whatnot. Now, Frankie, if I gave a choice to have the Bible or the bag with money, what would be your choice? I suppose that's exactly what I would do. Well, what's your boy's name again? Hudson. Hudson, come here. Son, I want you to tell Mommy to put your name in the Bible. Say, from Uncle Frank. Will you do that? Now, you've got about $13 or $14 all inside there in the pages. So you got more than Frankie. Okay? But you got to look for it. Okay? You like that idea? Okay, I said, all right, Frankie, thanks. By the way, for being a good sport thief, Brother Freddy offered me, he'll give you $10. All right, Fred? And if he doesn't have it, I'll give it to him myself. All right. Thank you, Hudson. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you indeed again for the word, which is so precious and so vital. We ask that you'll help us with all the things that we're occupied with in life. Sometimes we get so busy. Sometimes we're worn physically and mentally tired. Some of our men, especially when they're away, so difficult to even have a quiet time because of the noise of the engine, the generators, as well as their type of work during the day and late at night before they get through. And it's very difficult, but we pray that you'll help them and sustain them in this, that they will find a little time. Maybe they do. We're not being judgmental, Father. We just ask that you be with them. And we who have more leisure time, help us to apply ourselves to the Word of God, and that we may never neglect it, because we know if we do, we're going to suffer tragically in the end. Thank you for our young people. It encourages our hearts tonight to see every one of them here. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just motivate their life, steer them in the right direction. With the choice of a mate in life, your word will give them wisdom. And may they seek your face in all these things in life, no matter what it is, whatever venture it might be. Pray that you'll be with them, guide them, keep them, teach and instruct, and bless our coming together tonight, for we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. God bless you. The meeting is over. Thank you for being so attentive.